Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make
ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you whom fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under your soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence.
Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to conform the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Hallelujah verse and the Holy Gospel.
Because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out and leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As the popular Christmas song puts it, it's the most wonderful time of the year and happiest season of all. What's missing from that song, though, is the reality that it is also the busiest and most stressful time of the year. The hustle and bustle of our already fast-paced lives is intensified during this most wonderful time of the year, and the worries and pressures and stress take their toll as we set out to make it the happiest season of all. Perhaps it would be a more wonderful time of the year and a far happier season if we refuse to give in to the world's demands of us, that we exhaust all of our energy, all of our time, all of our thinking, and all of our patience on trying to make this Christmas the most special of all. But we won't. We're suckers for the sentimentality. We've bought into the lie that buying lots of gifts and planning the best parties and being around family and friends and having the best decorations and all that jazz is what Christmas is all about. This is how we secure the most wonderful time of the year and happiest season of all. And so we readily join the hustle and bustle and endure the worries and pressures and stress, because we all want that Hallmark Christmas. And so it is, dear friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us on this, the second Sunday in Advent, with a warning. "But watch yourselves," he says, "lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." That day is the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all of history is moving ever closer to the final advent, the final coming of our Lord. Each day edges us one more day in time towards the day of judgment and the day of redemption. For whether we are alive to see the last day and the second coming, the final coming of our Lord, or whether our life in this world ends, there will come a final day for us in this age, regardless. And there is no telling when that will be. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the death of my best buddy and friend, Pastor Al Majewski. His departure from this world came very unexpectedly. I had just spoken to him a couple of weeks before I received the news last Thanksgiving Eve that he had been hospitalized. He was planning for Lent. Not Advent, Lent, as in 4 months from then. He was teasing me because I had just begun planning for Advent. But I assured him that I was the normal one, not him. Normal people don't follow the Majewski plan so far in advance method, but normal people follow the Messer fly by the seat of your pants method. And we had great fun arguing back and forth about that and many other things. Then a little over 3 weeks later, I stood in a hospital room with his family in great sadness and watched him breathe his last. Shocking. Unexpected. The day of the Lord came for my friend far sooner than he or anyone else thought it would. We never know when the day of the Lord will come for us. But what we do know is that it will come. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth, says Jesus. In other words, no one is exempt from our Lord's warning. And he promises that his return, or our departure from this world if we go before his return, is as sure as the summer is on the way when the trees bear new leaves. The will of God has been set in motion before the foundation of the world, my friends. There is a plan, it is being carried out, and it will come to its conclusion. Our Lord further warns us. Therefore, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Stay awake. Our Lord is encouraging us to vigilance, to alertness, to remain steadfast in His Word, no matter what great and mighty things are going on in the world around us. No matter what tragic events are happening in our own little universes. For the cares of this life can take many forms. In some cases, it can be over-attachment to the passing material things around us. For others, it might involve someone or something being more important to them than God Himself. It may be pleasure, power, or pride. Regardless of what the distractions are, they pull us away from what is truly important. And that is especially dangerous during this most wonderful time of the year and happiest season of all. When our Lord Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point of sweating blood, He asked His closest three disciples to stay with Him and to keep watch. Our Lord went to pray. The disciples fell asleep. They did not remain vigilant. And when the predestined time of evil came upon them, it came as a shock and a surprise. Our Lord bids us to see their example as a warning. Don't doze your life away in this world, allowing days, weeks, months, and years to drift by without praying, without hearing God's word, without receiving Him in His sacraments. Don't fall into the devil's delusion that you can always wait to repent, wait for the more important things in your life to pan out, wait for a more convenient time. No, dear friends, hear the word. Don't wait. As St. Paul teaches us, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And when the writers of Scripture say, behold, they are not just using a quaint word, but rather they are shaking us by our shoulders, saying, are you listening? Pay attention. Behold. Prophet Malachi gives us a big behold today as he speaks in an urgent tone, relaying the word of the Lord, saying, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Are we listening to the prophets? Are we listening to our Lord Jesus when He also warns us, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And dear friends, these signs have and are still taking place today. These are signs that come upon every generation, that they would see them and repent and turn to the Lord, staying alert, watching for His coming. These signs will intensify the closer we get to our Lord's return. But the signs are there for us to behold. No one will be able to say on the last day, Lord, why didn't you warn us? for these events will happen just as surely as God's Son was born in Bethlehem, preached in Galilee, was crucified in the proximity of Jerusalem, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, as we confess. And if we confess the words of Scriptures and the creed concerning the history, the historical reality of our Lord's first advent, which is recorded not only in Scripture, but in history books, we ought also certainly confess the prophecy of our Lord's second advent. And he will come again in great glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And though to the unready and ill-prepared, our Lord's words either seem silly or terrifying, to those who have been born again by water and the Word, having received the gift of salvation through faith, to those who have been called and who believe on His name, the Lord has words of comfort. These last words come to them. For He says, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." What a glorious word, that word redemption. In the midst of sin and death and decay and destruction, amid wars and terrorism and conflict and hatred, though surrounded by murder and mayhem, and in our own brokenness and disappointment that we experience in our own little worlds, there is redemption. We are being bought back from this fallen world and from the grip of Satan, purchased at a price, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. In light of this glorious promise of redemption rooted in the clean slate of sins forgiven and of our fallen flesh and blood being bought back, redeemed by His perfect body and blood, we can rejoice with St. Paul, who testifies, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy." The last word in this sentence is mercy. Redemption, mercy. In spite of the dark clouds that will gather at the very end of time, we are told to hold our heads high, stay awake, and rejoice, because we have been redeemed for the sake of God's mercy. We are not redeemed by our own goodness, righteousness, wealth, nor any other strength of our own. Contrary to the Hallmark Christmas specials, everyone is not at their basic level basically good, but we are by nature sinful, enemies of God. So we cannot receive this mercy or earn it by our own righteousness. Rather, we are redeemed by our Emmanuel, God with us, our Redeemer and Savior, who takes our flesh and blood and comes to us to be our Savior and bear our sin. He is our Adonai and ruler of the house of Israel. For the Lord doesn't merely get our attention by calling us to account for our sins. He does that, to be sure. But He does not do this to punish us, my friends, but to call us to repentance. He bids us to come to Him, to stay awake, to turn from the dissipation and drunkenness of this world. But hear this too. He gets our attention with this as well. "Daughter of Zion, behold, surely your salvation is coming. The Lord will cause His glorious voice to be heard, and you are hearing it right now, and you shall have gladness of heart." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because of our Savior, Jesus, we have hope. And this kind of hope is not the worldly kind of hope, as in, gee, I really hope that I get all that I want for Christmas this year. But this is true hope, biblical hope, which is nothing like a wish, but is instead confident expectation. It is this kind of hope, this confident expectation, of which St. Paul is speaking to us when he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Confident expectation. For the Word of God is reliable, it is true. We can be confident that what the Scriptures declare to us is 100% trustworthy. As our Lord Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So, dear friends, on this second Sunday in Advent, heed the word of your Lord. Open your ears and your hearts and your minds. Listen to the prophets who speak his word. Listen to him himself who speaks it to you. Repent, for you have allowed the cares of this life to distract you. Admit it, confess it, and plead for mercy. And believe that you have the mercy for which you plead, for you do. It is yours in Christ Jesus, your Savior, for he prayed while Peter, James, and John slept. He never allowed his heart to be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. He stayed awake. He kept alert. He remained steadfast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the 30-some years that he walked among us. He never failed. And he did it all for you. That his perfection, that his perfect work would be counted as yours, would be credited to your account. And he completed your salvation. It is finished by going to the cross and dying in your place for your sins, paying the price of all of them, with his precious blood. In him, and in him alone, you have hope, confident expectation. And he is here once again this Lord's Day, his day, to fill you with that hope, to strengthen and preserve you in that hope through his holy word and very body and blood in the most holy sacrament. Come and receive him. Be forgiven. Be sustained. Be at peace, be prepared. For in receiving him, the prayer of St. Paul for you, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In him, in receiving him, that prayer is most assuredly answered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their wills. Gracious God, you sent John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, to herald the coming Messiah and proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. In these latter days, you send pastors to proclaim the same repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and through them you lead your people to trust in your salvation. Look with kindness upon all pastors, that with all diligence they may be faithful heralds of your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, your Son, our Lord Jesus, once came with humility, but will come again with great might at his appointed time. Grant that all members of Christ's church may live repentant lives of holiness and godliness as they wait for and hasten your day when he will come again. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of the nations, abide with all those to whom you have given authority over us, especially Barack, our president, Rick, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Guide them that they may seek to use their authority not for personal gain, but to care for us and keep our society safe. Be with all who serve in our military personnel as well, including Matt Bothman, Stephanie Bridges, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, April Rouser, and Christopher Schau, that they may serve with integrity and honor according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Give comfort, O Lord, to those suffering with any bodily affliction and pain or any sorrows in this life, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Holt, Joan Birch, Marion Greening, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bruce Bebo, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dargy, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Dorothy Weiser, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCullum, Joan Martins, Landon Cole, Connie and Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Christy Truesdell, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd and Lyle Doobie, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G., Oralee Bailey, Sherry Shaw, and Joseph Tull. Strengthen them with the promise that you are near in their time of need. Protect them from the assaults of the evil one, and comfort and deliver them according to your will, especially with the promise of their bodily resurrection and everlasting salvation to come on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, look kindly upon us and the family of our dear sister in Christ, Connie Cook, whom you called home a couple of days ago to glory. Be with all who mourn her death, even as you are with all who mourn the death of loved ones. Strengthen them with the promise that in the midst of their sadness, they may know the consolation of your love and rejoice that their loved ones who die in the faith now enjoy your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, you once came into the world as a lowly infant, and you promised that you will come again in power and great glory. As we await your final coming, we thank you for continuing to come to us in your holy supper. Feed all who come to your table today with your forgiveness, life, and salvation, that they may be strengthened and sustained as they anticipate your second and final advent. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
We lift them up to the Lord.
thanks unto the Lord our God. And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Christ given for you.
of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
about your career in there.
No way, people.